March 10th. Get tickets now at evinco.ca.
Morning, Montreal. You are tuned to the Wednesday Morning After on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal. We have a tight show for you today with two pre-recorded interviews from music and one interview from business news. The first interview is from the business news spot. Bizabo is acquiring Click for its wearable technology and its use in event planning. More on that coming up. The second interview is with Ben Lupus. Ben Lupus will be releasing the EP VDC later this year. So we're pleased to announce that Ben will be celebrating by partying his singles La Tempête and Barbara. The third interview is with Jake Harding of the band Birchcliff from Toronto. Birchcliff is releasing their new album, The City and the Mountain. Stick around for that later in the hour. 8 o'clock brings Democracy Now!, 8:15 brings Weather, and after some music, we'll visit the podcast called In the Shower with Taz and Marcus, where this week's question is, why is the sky blue? After some more music, we'll wrap up the show. Let's start the day off with some music.
You're no good for me, and I know you're no good to me. All you ever really do is bring me down, just like a boomerang. You keep coming back again. Around.
CLIC's mission is to bring your conference or event to the next level. It's about true engagement, participation, and optimized networking. CLIC is a platform paired with interactive wearable devices that allows users to seamlessly exchange each other's social profile information through the bump of a wrist or the click of a button. With us today, we have Charles Truong of CLIC. Hi, Charles, and welcome to the show.
Hi, Sheila. Thanks for having me.
First, please introduce yourself and tell us how you came to be involved in Bizibo and CLIC.
I've joined the company called PixMob in 2015 with the objective to create this new product line that eventually became CLIC. So I was one of the co-founders of CLIC back in the days, back in 2015, and then became its original product manager, taking it from idea to proof of concept to a product line where we were looking for product market fit. And at some point, CLIC became its own business unit, its own employees, and so forth. That happened in 2019, where I became the business unit's president. Most recently, through the acquisition, me and my team went over to Bizibo and joined the company in order to integrate CLIC into their platform.
What is Bizibo and why did you acquire CLIC?
Bizibo is an event experience OS. So very known, already involved in the event space pre-pandemic. Bizibo is known for their event websites, a mobile app, and ticketing and registration platform. Through the pandemic, the event industry was impacted greatly. As you can understand, like events, on-site event at least, like it went to nil. Bizibo pivoted very successfully. So not only did they survive, but they thrived through the pandemic and built a virtual events offering that, you know, gained a lot of traction, which allowed the Bizibo not only, like as I mentioned, not to survive, but to thrive. So then, you know, tripling the team and raising a large amount of money through the pandemic in order to be able to, you know, set themselves apart for the new world. So what's going to happen post-pandemic comes to events.
What do you mean when you say wearable technology?
Wearable technology is, for us, is a hardware extension that becomes like the digital extension in hardware format for you when you're at an event. So the way we wear it is, you know, we had wristbands, but now more interactive badge. So for all attendees that goes to an event, they receive that interactive badge that they wear on themselves that really becomes the digital extension for the attendee. And with that interactive badge, attendees can CLIC with one another to exchange contact information, CLIC with different interactive objects throughout the event to gather more information about it and bookmark them in some ways. And then also, you wear it, it tracks you passively, so it knows like which sessions you attended, so it can share more personalized information and follow up based on your actual event experience. So for us, when it becomes wearable, it's battery operated, you can wear on yourself, and it's seamless in some ways. So it provides you like digital benefits, but you know, as you wear something physical on during the event.
How does CLIC measure attendee engagement, participation, and networking at on-site events?
Yeah, so a big part, like one of the main reasons attendees are going to events is to network with other people and learn. And for us, to measure attendee engagement is we want to know if they accomplish their objective of meeting other people and learning. So how we measure it is, you know, how has an attendee prepared for an event? You know, have they reached out to other attendees that they wanted to meet? Have they set meetings with them? And when they go on site, you know, have they actually met with those people? How many people did they exchange contact with? So that these are our data points that provides an idea of, you know, how engaged they were on the networking aspect of the event. And on the learning aspect of the event, same thing, like how did they prepare? What session did you register to? What were they planning to go to in terms of sessions and keynotes? And then when they're on site, we're measuring the discrepancy of what they plan to do and what they actually did. So therefore, we can detect like what session they attended, for how long, and so forth. So that way, it gives a clearer measure for the organizers to review, to see how engaged their attendees at the event and on site, which is tough because, you know, if we think about how people were doing it before, it's through surveys, it's through like qualitative appreciation and counting people in rooms. Now we provide a systematic way to get those data points and actually measure that level of engagement when they're on site.
How can the wearables act as a communications device?
So how our wearables act as communication devices, one way is, you know, they can act as a receiver of information. So one thing we can do is do light cues and light up moments with our wearables. So, you know, at a keynote, we can light up people from different regions to identify them. Or during the event, we can light up people to say, like, you know, the session is about to start, head to your room. So that's one way of communicating one direction. And the other direction is, you know, the wearables are always like reading into the environment where they are and communicates that information back so that, you know, there can be, we can know what they actually attended and how long did they stay in different areas of the event. So we can actually measure, like, you know, how people are spending time at the event. It's essentially, you know, our vision was to create the Google Analytics of events. So, you know, how can we map out the venue and break it down into different pages or zone? And how can we track, you know, what is actually being used or not, or what actually works or not? So the wearable really acts as the physical pixel that, you know, tells us, you know, what is the exact behavior of attendees on site. And so that, you know, organizers and sponsors can measure if their initiatives work or if their booth work or if their sessions worked.
What will this mean for the future of event planning?
So right now we're at a crucial point in time for the event space is, you know, with the pandemic, everyone shifted to online events and virtual events. And, you know, I think there is this Zoom fatigue or, you know, virtual event fatigue that is happening. And if we're thinking about the future of event planning in the short to midterm, is everyone is thinking about how are we going to do this hybrid experience, right? And the problem or the pitfalls that we don't want to fall into is we don't want to create two separate experiences, the online experience on its own and the on-site experience on its own, and say it's a hybrid event. So I think what the wearable can do for the future of event planning is really create that bridge between the online experience and the on-site experience, allowing, you know, people that living the virtual experience connect with the people actually living on the on-site experience, know what they're doing and get insights to where what they're doing and find a way for them to, you know, merge those two experiences together. I think it's a great challenge that we have ahead of us that is not necessarily easy to solve because, you know, it has not been yet defined what is a real hybrid event experience. And bringing our wearables into the mix and how we tried to solve for that over the last few years, I think it's another tool that we're bringing for event planners, how to be able to connect both worlds, physical and digital, all together when they're organizing their events. I think it's very exciting and it's about defining that solution or that experience, which has yet to be defined. It's very exciting times.
What is Qlik's unique approach to building its software?
So for us, the unique approach for us is thinking experience first. So for us, you know, there is this concept of return on privacy. So, you know, people can think about wearables as a device that tracks you when you're on site. And, you know, you have to have a good return on the privacy for that. So we've always built our solution thinking about experience first. You know, what value are we providing to the attendee? Is he, because of our technology, having a better experience on site, helping him meet other people, helping him learn more and you know, get the proper content that he or she was wanting to get out of that event. So how we're building software is we're always thinking about, you know, how does that going to delight the attendee experience? Are they going to adopt the solution in itself first? And then afterwards, you know, adoption experience will bring adoption, and adoption will bring the insights back to the organizer. So our approach is really like thinking experience first, and then knowing afterwards that, you know, experience bring adoption, and therefore we can provide all the insights and the data that will come from that.
What is the Event Experience OS, and how will Visible integrate Qlik?
Yeah, so the Event Experience OS is really like a new way of looking at, you know, how originally people were doing event management software. So it was really about, you know, organizing your event, very tactical in some ways. The Event Experience OS is Visible's vision of, you know, how can we provide event organizers with the tools and capabilities to create better event experience, not just thinking about, you know, how to do scheduling, how to do lead scanning and so forth, but really thinking experience first, providing those tools to organizer with really experience in mind, and helping them more figure out how to provide that better experience to their attendees. And that goes from before the event, during the event, whether it be online and on site, and then after the event, you know, for personalized follow-up and so forth. So it's really about not just thinking about, you know, doing things and being very functional. It's about, you know, adding the experience component for event organizer when they're trying to accomplish their goals. And if we're thinking about how Qlik fits into this, is really the on-site experience component. So Qlik, you know, we've been at it for the last 6 years. We've built the hardware development capability with our wearables. So that capability will integrate into Visible and being able to create our own hardware wearables to have at our events. But at the same time also, we have this expertise of how to deliver unique on-site experience. So we have a team that, you know, that we're regularly sent on site to help our clients create those experience. And that on-site experience is also coming from a Montreal team, technicians and an on-site experience specialist. So they can also support. So that capability is also integrated into Visible. So therefore, we're providing, you know, both of those new expertise into the Visible capabilities, as well as integrating our software team into it.
Who's on the team now at Qlik?
So on our team with the acquisition, we were 18 of Qlik team members that joined Visible. It's a mix of different departments. So we're looking at it from a, you know, there were software, the software development team, the hardware development team. So our R&D, a big part of it is joining the Visible family. On the product management also, we have our product managers joining the Visible team, as well as our on-site operations and on-site experience team. So that team provides a lot of expertise that will integrate into Visible. And we have some of our marketing friends also joining the experience.
If our listeners want more information or to buy your products and programs, where should they go?
So if we want to look, like, we'll integrate the Qlik brand into Visible in the next few months. That's the objective right now. So you can get that information at www.qlik.co. And, you know, if you want to learn more about the Event Experience OS and how Qlik will integrate into Visible with future announcements and so forth, you can go to www.visible.com. You know, there's a lot of openings right now at Visible. So in Montreal, we have about 10 openings right now in all the different departments that I mentioned, but also having a Montreal office for Visible means that, you know, all the remote roles that you're seeing also available out of North America can be fulfilled in Canada and based in Montreal also, where we have a nice office, Place Ville-Marie. So, you know, I invite everyone to go look at our career page and look at all the different roles. We're a rocket ship. It's booming, and we're looking for great people to join the team.
Thank you for your interview today.
Thank you, Sheila.
You've been listening to Charles Truong speaking about Click. I'm your host, Sheila Ferrando.
I'm Martin Carly, and I like to popularize science. Vaccination against COVID-19 for children aged 5 to 11 has begun. As parents, you may be asking if the vaccine is safe and effective. The answer is yes. The vaccine is approved by Health Canada and has been the subject of numerous studies involving thousands of people, including children. Experts also closely monitor any adverse effects that may occur after vaccination.
For more information, visit quebec.ca/youthvaccine. A message from the gouvernement du Québec.
Tame Impala in concert. Tame Impala Slow Rush Tour. An incredible transcendent live performance. Tame Impala plus Bell, March 10th. Get tickets now at evenco.ca.
Ben Lupus will be releasing the EP Voodoo C later this year. So we're pleased to announce that Ben will be celebrating by partying his singles La Tompette and Barbara. With us today, we have Ben Lupus. Hi, Ben, and welcome to the show.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
First, please introduce yourself and tell us how you came to be a musician.
Okay, so I'm Ben Lupus. I started playing music a long time ago. I have no formal training, but I started when I was a teenager with my younger brother in our bedroom. Yeah, mostly at the time we made up imaginary bands with very long and complicated names. And then we formed a real indie rock band that was called Coming Soon, which was a simple name, this one. We recorded 5 albums together with a bunch of friends. And we did tour for like 15 years, also involved with like other projects, mostly electronic music. I've got a band called Mon Analogue, which is still touring when touring is possible. And now, I'm releasing solo stuff under my own name. And my new EP just came out. Yeah.
Who are your bandmates and what does everyone play or do for this EP?
Like I said, it's me. So it's mostly a solo act. In the studio, my friend Nicolas Matari, who produced the songs, came up with a lot of ideas. And my bandmates from Coming Soon also just came around and played a bit of guitar, bass, drums. Anyway, it's mostly just me. It's really song based, so I just want things to stay quite simple, and I don't want the songs to be too crowded. Yeah, that's it.
La Tompette is your latest single. What is the story behind this song? What inspired it?
It's a sad song, La Tompette. I think it started with this friend of mine who was considering driving across the country to show up at his ex-wife and new boyfriend's house just to say hi and see what was going on. And he was asking me if this would be weird. So yeah, in the end, he didn't go. But I did write a song, and it's loosely based on that, just other personal memories that I threw into it.
May we listen to some of your music?
Yep.
This is La Tompette on the Wednesday Morning After.
La voiture de location.
Your upcoming EP is Vu DC. What is the process you went through producing this album?
The process was and is really simple. I usually write during the day while my little boy is at school or taking a nap. In the evening, when it's bedtime, I sing him to sleep. So I just try out what I wrote during the day. And this is how I come up with the songs. For this EP, it was just before lockdown number 2 here in France. And my first EP was about to be released when I realized I wasn't going to be able to tour or to promote it like I had planned to. This was a bit depressing, but I decided to get in the studio and start recording new stuff instead of going into a dark place and bury myself there. It was also a lot of drawing and inking, because the EP in its physical form is a book, not a disc, not a CD or a vinyl. I spend a lot of time at my desk writing and drawing this book. That's it.
You are also releasing a single called Barbara. What is the story behind this song?
Barbara, I guess it's me trying to write a classic love song. It's a sad song once again, although I consider myself a pretty happy guy. But the truth is I made up everything in this song. None of it is real. And it's my favorite song on the EP, Barbara.
May we hear some more of your music?
Yes, please.
This is Barbara on CKUT. Le bruit
su s'aimer. Et c'est vrai que le vent soufflait, c'était l'hiver à Calais. Je me serrais contre toi, je sentais même pas le froid. Barbara, où tu es, qu'est-ce que tu fais? Barbara, j'y pense presque plus jamais. Barbara, où tu es, qu'est-ce que tu fais? Barbara, où tu es, qu'est-ce que tu fais?
If our listeners want more information or to buy your music, where should they go?
I'm on Instagram, of course, at Ben Lupus. And if people want to check me out, posting about me going up the mountains with my boy, my girlfriend, they can go there. Or they can go to my Bandcamp page. I think it's the best to just to get the music and, of course, the book, BDC. It's benlupus.bandcamp.com.
Thank you for your interview today.
Well, thank you so much for inviting me.
You've been listening to Ben Lupus speaking about his music. I am your host, Sheila Ferrando.
Early in the morning, before the sun rose, when the first bird sang, even while everyone was still asleep.
Morning. On that morning,
when the sun comes out.
This morning, baby.
Cock-a-doodle-doo. I hear the rooster crowing.
Now you must wake up.
Now every morning when I wake up,
I woke up this morning with
the kiss of the morning.
Got up 7:30 every morning. The same breakfast.
Réveillez-moi à 8 heures demain matin.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Morning. Riding a bike made of bacon and eggs.
In the morning.
In the morning.
In the morning.
Why should the sun replace the moonlight?
Has this ever happened to any of you, or will it happen to any of you, on the morning after the night before?
You are listening to The Morning After on CKUT 90.3 on the FM dial.
We've never met, and to be honest, we probably never will. That's not really important. But there are probably people out there who are important to you, who are reluctant to get the COVID-19 vaccine for themselves and for their children. We all have our reasons, but if we take the time to listen to others, we can help reassure and support them. And that's really important.
The first step to understanding is listening. If you have questions about the vaccines, visit quebec.ca/vaccine talk, a message from the Gouvernement du Québec.
Despite Birchcliff being named for a small neighborhood in Scarborough, Toronto, the artist's debut album, The City and the Mountain, never sinks too deep into the territory of urban centrism, as its lyrics and instrumentation showcase equal parts tranquil serenity and thunderous introspection. With us today, we have Jake Harding of Birchcliff. Hi, Jake, and welcome to the show.
Hey, Sheila. Thanks for having me on.
First, please introduce yourself and tell us how you came to be a musician.
My name's Jake. I've only been making music for the last couple of years now. I wish I started a lot sooner, but yeah, I'm in my early 30s and I'm just getting going. I've been writing poetry for a long time and doing some creative writing pursuits, but it took me sort of till I was more rooted and had my own space to really feel comfortable to start making some racket. Started a couple years ago and I'm excited for the road ahead. Lots more to come.
Who are your bandmates and what does everyone play or do?
Well, it's sort of just me, but I am fortunate enough to have some of my closest friends backing me up. Big shout out to Logan Trierty, who is the producer for the project and also plays backup guitar, Dustin Shepherd on bass, Greg Appleby on drums, and I'd like to give a shout out to Ken Kingston, who has been a mentor and played a lot on the album as well.
The City and the Mountain is your debut album. What was the process you went through producing this album?
It's been an interesting journey. As I said, I'm sort of just getting going, and I wrote all these songs over the course of a winter, a couple of winters ago. It was really the first time I'd picked up the acoustic guitar before, and this is sort of what poured out. I guess it was things that I really needed to get off my chest. It's a very personal album, and I had really no expectation for doing anything with it, but I showed the songs to my friend Ken, and we jammed them a little bit, and he really encouraged me to go and see Logan, and went into the studio and started tracking, and this is the result of that.
The City and the Mountain is also your title track. What is the story behind this song?
The City and the Mountain really sums up the album, being sort of half urban hip-hop influenced and half sort of country folk influence and a little bit of everything in between. But even more so, it really sums up who I am as a person. I was born and raised in the city, but I feel like my heart and soul is somewhere in the countryside on a piece of land. And I say in the chorus of The City and the Mountain, the city life has got me drinking from the cup of the pirate's stove. And I really feel like that's the case. Like I'm striving to be somewhere where I can be a little bit more self-sufficient and live off the land. That's something that I look forward to later in life.
May we hear some of your music?
Sure, go for it. Yeah.
This is The City and the Mountain on the Wednesday Morning After.
The city and the mountain off this prairie road. Taste the glacial waters, I'll shed this heavy load. Pop goes the trailer on down the speeding pass. When I taste the wild mushrooms, I'll put it in the past. City life, city life has got me drinking from the cup, from the cup, from the cup of the pirate's soul. Living a lie, living a lie, living a lie, it's got me thinking, it's time to sail on from what I saw. When trees reach for heavens, till the egg is thin, I'll hear the sound of silence. Can begin when time has no meaning except for light and dark. I hope that you will join me. We'll build ourselves an ark. The city life, city life, city life has got me drinking. Got me drinking from the cup, from the cup, from the cup of the pirate's soul. Living a lie, living a lie, living a lie. It's got me thinking. Time to sail on from what I saw. City life, city life, city life. It's got me drinking from the cup, from the cup, from the cup of the pirate's soul. Living a lie, living a lie, living a lie. It's got me thinking, time to sail on, sail on from what I saw.
city life has got me drinking from the cup, from the cup, from the cup of the pirate soul. Living a lie, living a lie, living a lie has got me thinking, it's time to sail on from what I saw. City life, city life, city life has got me drinking, the cup, from the cup, from the cup of the pirate soul. Living a lie, living a lie, living a lie. Got me thinking, long sail, long sail, long from what I saw. The city and the mountain, off this prairie road.
One of your recent singles is Gypsy Mama. What is the story behind this song?
Gypsy Mama holds a special place in my heart. It's one of the first things I wrote. I still think it holds up. It's a great song. It's also the first thing I released, and that it was about just over a year ago now, and that kind of kicked off everything. It had some positive response, and there's a music video that you can check out on YouTube for that. But the story behind it is basically about falling for a butterfly. One of those types of people, we all know them, who are free-spirited to the absolute bones. I'm pretty free-spirited, but I wish I was a little bit more like that. Somebody who just, you know, they're always on the move, and they're super carefree, and yeah, they're a lot of fun when they're around. You just can't expect them to stick around. And this song is about trying to tame one of those special people.
May we hear some more of your music?
Absolutely.
This is Gypsy Mama on CKUT.
Break the rules, but Gypsy Mama.
If our listeners want more information or to buy your music, where should they go?
I just want to say thank you to anyone out there that's listening today and wants to check out some of my music. I'm on Instagram at Birchcliff Music. You can find the music on Spotify or any of your streaming platforms and buy it there. We have a few music videos up on YouTube, Gypsy Mama, Anxiety, The City in the Mountain. I'd recommend going to check those out. Yeah, this is really, as I said, I'm just getting started at this and there's a lot more to come. I hope to see you all at a show one day.
Thank you for your interview today.
Thanks so much, Sheila. I really appreciate it.
You've been listening to Jake Harding speaking about his band Birchcliff and their music. I'm your host, Sheila Ferrando. Fa la 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 fa la 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 vivez-vous les mains.
Vous connaissez la chanson. Célébrez avec vos proches, mais continuez de suivre les mesures sanitaires en vigueur. Lavez-vous les mains régulièrement et maintenez une distance d'un mètre. Un message du gouvernement du Québec.
Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Hey, coughed into your elbow.
You know the tune. If you're celebrating with your loved ones this holiday season, make sure to keep following the sanitary measures. A message from the gouvernement du Québec.
Whose data? Our data. When you're not paying for a product, you are the product. Especially in web and email services, where multinationals compete to manage your communication so they can make a profit off of the private communication you are producing. Coombit is a worker cooperative trying to help small organizations or individuals get their email, website creation, and website hosting services off corporate services such as Google. For more information, contact us at coombit.org or email at info@coombit.org. That's K-O-U-M-B-I-T. We are not on Facebook.
You're tuned in to the Wednesday Morning After Show with your host, Sheila Ferrando, and editing by me, Nadine Scott, on Radio CKUT 90.3 FM Montreal or online at ckut.ca.
From New York, this is Democracy Now! Workers at the Elmwood Starbucks store in Buffalo, New York, won a historic victory after they voted to unionize last week, making them the first to do so among the coffee chain's 9,000 locations in the United States. More stores have already filed to unionize in Boston. We'll speak with a Starbucks barista in Buffalo and go to Memphis to talk with one of 1,400 Kellogg's workers who've now been on strike for over 2 months.
My name is Kevin Bradshaw, Vice President of Memphis 252G here in Memphis, Tennessee. I'm on strike with other workers, 1,400 workers across the United States in Omaha, Lancaster, Battle Creek, and Memphis. And we're fighting against the Kellogg Company for equal pay and equal benefits and also job security. We've been on strike now for almost 2 months, and we're trying to make sure that all future workers and current workers have the same amount of pay and benefits and job security going forward in the future.
This comes as President Biden's condemned Kellogg's plans to permanently replace striking workers. We'll look at the wave of union drives and labor organizing with historian Nelson Lichtenstein, author of State of the Union, A Century of American Labor. But first, a shocking Yahoo News expose reveals a secretive Customs and Border Protection unit investigated as many as 20 journalists and their contacts by using government databases intended to track terrorists. Those investigated include the Pulitzer Prize-winning Associated Press reporter Martha Mendoza, along with others at the Huffington